Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, friends.
Ooh, ah, ah, ah.
Hey, welcome into the firm of Harris and Meringue. Patrick Harris. Yo, that's me. That's Danny Meringue to my left over there. Casey Smith back there on the ones and twos holding the beats down for you on this beautiful Tuesday morning / afternoon.
Yep, see you later. I'm out.
Okay, bye. Yeah, senioritis definitely kicks in at some point.
Yep.
We do have a good show today.
We do.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, no, I'm stoked.
What are you going to do tomorrow?
Tomorrow's prep for the event.
Okay.
She has baking to do, the final decorations and all that kind of stuff. And then I'm trying to think of anything wedding-wise. Yeah, if you're coming, you got the text last night of... please do not arrive any later than this moment.
Yes, I got a long laundry list from Daniel Meringue yesterday, mm-hmm. which is the only time he communicates with me these days.
It's true. I don't communicate with anybody, for being honest right now.
And we laughed because it came across, the wife and I think it came across like around dinner time, something like that. The wife and I were watching a movie, and it came across, and I was like, oh, new information. So I'm sharing it with the partner, and she goes, oh, still no dress code, huh? Still no dress code,
yeah.
Which means... once again, Friday at the Big Nooner, Casey and I will unveil our attire for the wedding. So
tune
into that. That should be, outside of Chauncey Billups, that should be our highest rated YouTube day.
There you go. I like it.
Well, the Chauncey Billups, I mean, nothing will beat that, dude. We had English and Russian bots yelling about which one was more racist to each bot. That was pretty great.
It's sentient AI.
Bot on bot crime.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's because we had peaked over 1,000 viewers that day.
Which...
Pretty wild.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
I do the best I can and let the chips fall where they may.
I can't believe that's the last thing he said in public.
Well, I think not guilty.
Well, yes. But also, it just makes me giggle so much that that's one of the last things that we heard. In fact, I'm going to play it again.
I do the best I can and let the chips fall where they may.
Think about this. A funny thing. This is how fast time moves. Mm-hmm. We have already had a full NBA season.
It's almost been a year.
Since that has happened, there is new ownership. Mm-hmm. There has been a second coach of the Blazers since then, and Danny's getting married.
Yeah.
That's how much stuff has gone. We got a new producer since then.
Yeah.
Lots happened.
It's wild, dude. It's wild.
Were we FM? Yeah, we were FM.
We had just made the switch.
Just made the switch. Did we have Timbers Thorns Fire? I don't know if we did.
Ooh, I don't know if we did.
I don't think we did.
No.
Because the season was still going on.
Thorns Fire, yes.
Okay.
Sorry, Thorns Fire, no. Timbers, yes.
Timbers, yes. Thorns Fire, no. Yeah. That's crazy, man.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's a lot. Tiff and I have talked a lot about that. Like, think about a year ago. I'm just like, holy crap.
I know. I my kids, I will never have all three of my kids in one school again.
Mm-hmm.
And I now have two middle schoolers.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, dude, that's nuts, which is another phone bill.
I wasn't even in the city or the state last year.
Yeah, just think about that. That's
the crazy thing to me. I'm going, well, I was selling phones in a Costco a year ago.
Mm. Hustling.
Hustling.
Getting your Giannis on.
Oh, God.
Cell phones and watches.
I feel bad for those guys at Costco. Because I don't even acknowledge them.
Don't feel bad.
I just continue.
Don't feel
to
bad.
Walk.
They know their life.
I don't even smile. I don't even acknowledge.
A friend of mine, she met her husband that way.
Oh, that's cool.
He was talking. This is 20 years ago. He was slanging phones at Costco.
Is it a decent gig?
It's not bad.
I bet you 20 years ago it was probably a little bit easier.
I've had a few coworkers where game is game.
Yeah.
Every time I walk by those people in Costco, they're always with people that are definitely over the age of 80.
Oh, yeah.
I feel bad about that.
Target market. That over 55 plan.
Look at this kid. He clearly knows.
Target rich environment. Yeah. Costco, it's great for that.
You just got to lean into the olds, right?
I mean, again, just don't exploit them, but yeah, it is what it is. Like,
what an opportunity.
I get the resting cop face through the entry of Costco.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't do it all that often. I think I'm pretty approachable otherwise, but if I'm not interested in anything you've got, that the face has the ability to go, do not engage.
If I put a Seahawk jersey on you,
mm-hmm.
and you walked into my Costco, mm-hmm. it'd be central casting.
Yeah.
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 Vancouver Costco, you in a Seahawk jersey. Mm-hmm. If you had to wear it, has to be a throwback, but yeah. I'm a modern player.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it going to be? Because my favorite guy that I saw once and I took a picture of it, and I think it's even like a profile picture on some weird accounts I have somewhere. It's a dude in a DK Metcalf jersey, but it's the Steve Largent style.
Okay. Mine would have to be Big Cat.
Okay.
Be Leonard.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah, it'd be Leonard. Cool with that. I mean, fight on. Come on now.
As long as you're not wearing 12. I can't handle that. I don't know what it is. I feel really bad.
The 12th man jersey?
Because I got friends that have the 12th that are diehard Seahawk fans, and I don't have a team, which we'll get to in the Nooner, but I can't get behind the 12. For some reason, it bothers me.
Well, it also bothers A&M fans.
Well, yeah. Well, it's because it's theirs. And they shouldn't get bothered because they get paid for it every year. It's like free NIL.
It's, you know, it's no big deal.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you guys know anybody that wears the 12 jersey?
Same sideline.
Yeah, I know a couple.
And I can't explain it. I don't know why, but
they weren't Seahawks fans growing up either. I'm like,
I'm going to kind of go with that.
I know a lot of Duck fans that I went to high school with. Mm-hmm. I went to Beaverton, so Beavers. And the Beavers were really good when I was in high school.
In the early 2000s? Yeah, Beavs were good.
Late 90s,
early 2000s? Late 90s, early 2000s, yeah.
They were nationally ranked.
It's crazy how I grew up a Duck fan and then became a Beaver when they got bad.
Yeah, well, you're a glutton for punishment.
That's tough.
Yeah, but
that's why you should really just be a coug like me, dude. We always suck.
I
that's not true, actually. The 90s were good to us.
You're pretty good then.
The 90s and early 2000s were good to us.
But we, you know, a lot of Oregon State gear and a lot of Oregon State jerseys and a lot of Oregon State hats back then. And I would say 2012, 2013, I started seeing some Facebook posts and a lot of Go Ducks, Duck for Life, and, you know, quack, quack, and throwing up O's. And I'm like, No. You're not a Duck lifer. I know what you used to wear. I know who you used to root for. I know who you used to love. Don't do that to me.
We had if those of you that are listening to this program right now that know me from our youth, we went to school with this girl Lindsay. Her dad went to Oregon, so she is a true like the family was diehard. But she was so diehard Joey Harrington, the great Joseph Harrington, and understood the guy could have won a Heisman, what I call the birth of modern Oregon. I know Keeley was there before him, but I think Joey's the birth.
Joey had the billboard.
Yeah, Joey's the birth of modern Oregon as far as I'm concerned. And she would never shut up about Joey Harrington.
Joey was here last week?
Who cares about the Ducks? They've never done anything. And I saw her at a high school reunion. She was like, how you like that?
They still haven't done anything.
And I was like, ouch. Boom.
And look how you've switched sides.
From the top rope.
Step into a Slim Jim.
We just TP'd her house every weekend for like 14 weeks straight.
Ooh, wow. Does that still happen anymore?
I don't know.
Do TP, like, I feel like it just doesn't happen anymore.
I don't know. It would be a feat of man if you did my house.
Is it a lot of trees?
No. No.
Oh, there's nothing.
And the tree, I've got like one tree in the front, and it's huge.
High school, the cheerleaders and the rhythm bees, the dance team, Thursday night would go to all the seniors' houses before games and go out there and cheer and teepee the house and have fun with all that kind of stuff. Like, does that thing kind of thing happen anymore?
Or? I don't know, man. Dude, I think kids sit around and goof off on their phones. I talk. Yeah. I have friends.
The screenagers?
Yeah, I have. Oh, screenagers. I haven't heard that term. Nice. I have friends that teach in the Vancouver School District, mm-hmm. the Evergreen School District, and all around Portland as well, whether it's Beaverton or PPS. And I always ask them, I'm always curious, like, do kids smoke pot these days? Do kids drink? Like, is there parties? Things like that. And a lot of my teacher friends kind of say, no, a lot of them think that drinking and smoking is kind of lame. Mm-hmm. They would rather sit around on a couch unmonitored by their parents and scroll through TikTok and Instagram and tell each other stories.
Be zombies.
Yeah, I'm like, that sounds like the lamest thing in the world, dude.
Anytime I see kids out, like, in our neighborhood, like, doing stupid stuff, instead of being, like, shaking my fist at the cloud, I'm like, oh, the kids are stupid again.
Yay!
Yes! Yes! You see a kid bite it doing something stupid on a bike or a scooter, I'm like, yes!
I saw a pack of kids all wearing soccer jerseys for mm-hmm. some reason, all on scooters, mm-hmm. and just the one kid who's trying to catch up to the group, he's going too fast, and I'm sitting at the stoplight going, this can't end well, this can't end well. All of a sudden, you just see the legs go horizontal in the air, and that kid got scraped up. It was a tough watch.
I got a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old that live down the street from mm-hmm. me, and they're always bombing out of their driveway into the street, not looking for cars, and it's the main thoroughfare mm-hmm. in the neighborhood. And my wife and I are like, those kids are going to get hit someday. And I'm like, yeah, those were the days.
Those were the days.
Those were the good old days.
Look, man, you... Being stupid
instills some fear into you.
Yeah,
you
no,
only
like,
need one kid to get hit for them to not do it again.
Yeah, and we don't. I'm not looking for like brain damage for the kid, but like, I feel like if you don't
it's
grow
a clean
up,
hip check.
If you don't grow up getting one scare, whatever it is, like, you should get stitches. Like, it's just should you like, especially as a young dude, like being active and being dumb. Go do something that gets you stitches.
I know my son doesn't.
Still?
No.
How old is he now?
9. He'll be 10 next month.
Ah, there's time.
Yeah.
There's time. Like,
well, he's just so sweet and soft. Like, I don't want to ruin him.
But I mean, like, there's this thing of like protecting the innocence of a kid,
sure.
But it's also like, do something dumb.
I'm trying to think of when my debauchery started. It started about 11 to 14.
Oh, see, I was
so you've got the window still.
I was a little heathen out of the gate. I remember I was like 3 or 4 years old. I took a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and stuffed it in a VCR because I was like, oh, this goes here. I used to climb everything. I'd fall off of it. I busted my skull open literally to the meat when I was 4 years old. Like, yeah, dude, I was into everything. Are you kidding me?
I miss the days of getting a 6-pack of Bush Light and that being 2 drunks. Like, drink 3 of those and you're like, whoa, I'm having a party night. And then save the other 3 for the next time. You're like, whoa.
I remember we went to a concert.
Now that's just a Tuesday afternoon.
That really... You putting that into perspective kind of hurt my soul.
Yeah, dude. Three Bush Light Tollies, dude? That's child's play warm-up.
I was telling Tiff this the other day because I'd forgotten this one. We were going to a concert. I think it was at the Roseland. And I think we were 16 at the time, so we were taking the Max down there. And my buddy's older brother bought us a case.
Okay.
And my buddy, being the dummy that he was, kept the case. And he had like a I don't think it was a Cadillac. I think it might have been a Buick, like a land yacht with the trunk that you could smuggle 16 bodies in, you know, solid steel. It was like 100 degrees outside. Left the case in the trunk of the car.
Uh-oh.
So the beer is like nuclear hot. But we're 16 and we're going to a concert.
You already hate the flavor anyway.
And we're not like, not only that, like we can't go get more.
Mm-mm.
So what did we do? We pounded the world's hottest beer.
Hey, pounding hot beer is better than pounding cold beer.
No, this wasn't like warm beer. This was hot, hot beer. Like the can was hot to touch.
I've been at a few parties and it's the summertime and you just find a case of beer in the garage and it's lukewarm, but you got nothing else to drink.
Lukewarm's doable, but like this was hot. And I was like, she just looked at me and she's like, you've been an idiot your whole life. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Pretty much. That's
that tracks.
That's what it was.
But I won't go parched.
But I mean, like, just kids being dumb. Not devious, but dumb. Like, it feels like the snake is starting to eat its tail a little bit in the sense of, like, kids are wanting to get outside and touch grass and be like, when I see, like, you know, I don't want to be the old guy who's like, what are these kids doing? Because, like, we've seen, like, the scooter mobs, like, in our neighborhood, like, it's a group of, like, 8 or 9 kids, like, on scooters all hanging out. And we'll be out walking the dogs, and we'll look at them like, that's awesome. That's awesome. Love seeing that. Like, good, you're outside. You're doing something. You're with friends. Like, it's like, man, because I feel so bad for these kids that got hit with COVID, because it's just, that's just nightmare fuel, man. How desensitized and isolated they got.
Like, I got COVID kids.
That's what I mean. I mean,
yeah.
Like, it's,
I mean, they were
such
school age COVID, but yeah.
But it's still, it's like, mm-hmm. that development period, they lost basically 2 years of socialization. It's like, go outside, go be friends, go hang out. Like,
well, the world's also a little scarier now.
I think it was always scarier. We just didn't know.
Just ignorance?
Yeah.
I liked a good ignorance time.
I mean, you and I are old enough to where we had streetlight rules.
Yep. Yep. Streetlights come on, you come home.
You come home.
Yeah.
We didn't have
cell phones. If you come home earlier, you get hot dinner.
Yeah. You don't have to microwave it.
Yeah, because we've already eaten dinner.
Yeah. Well, there's no waiting for you to come home. No. Not only that, like the idea of, like, there's no cell phones, no trackers. Like, you'd say you'd go somewhere, but then you'd go to somebody else's house and then go to somebody else's house.
Oh, you never said where you were going. No. You were like, I'm going to go to Danny's house. And then it's like, Danny moved 2 years ago.
Yeah, but it's like, but you would, like, you just, it just happened.
It just happened.
You know what I mean? And we all made it home. Mm-hmm. And every now and then you made the phone call of, hey, I'm okay, but.
But, yeah. Can I stay at Danny's house tonight?
Or, I need to go to the hospital.
Now.
Now. That's when I wrecked my car when I was 16. I wrecked my car. I called my mom and I was like, hey, I'm okay. But she's like, don't do that to me. Like, she thought I was messing with her. I'm like, the car's totaled. It's in a tree right now. And she's like, you're joking. And I go, no. She's like, how is it totaled and you're okay? I go, I don't know.
But I'm okay, mama.
I was like, she's like, how fast were you going? I'm like,
fast.
I'm like,
that depends on the definition of fast, mom.
Yeah. I think the next day I told her, I was like, I looked down, I was doing 100.
Yeah.
The last time I looked. So the fact that I walked out of that crash with literally nothing but bruises in my palms of my hand from folding the steering wheel in half like a taco, still not even a minor miracle, full on miracle. I should have died.
And that is the reason why my life is miserable today.
Mm. There you go.
It's because you survived.
Because I survived that car crash.
Oakley.
You can put it on the ball.
Oakley Doakley, we got a great show for you today. Dave Bartu is going to join us at 12:15, talk a little more college football as we're getting closer and closer. I was jealous that I didn't get some Dave Bartu in my life, so we'll have him at 12:15. It is a free consultation Tuesday, which normally we do at 12:15, but we're going to have a little fun today and push things around, and we're going to test out free consultation at 11:15, so get those in, and we'll get to those. Anything you need help in your life, your love life, personal life, work life, we're going to play a little fun game today and jump in free consultation at 11:15. But we'll start the family business and why the drama.
It's, dun, 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 dun.
It's better to be in Portland than Los Angeles. We'll go there first. 105.1 The Fan.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
we're really doing this.
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world.
Then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game-time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
1021 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it, baby. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. It's a 503-864-6326 kind of day. That's the fan text line. She'll let you interact with us throughout the entire day. You can jump over on the YouTubes. 105.1 The Fan is the channel. Smash that like, subscribe, jump in the chat. Be nice to each other over there. We've had a good couple run of the days. The board has been updated behind me. We are at 17 days since bad news when it comes to the Portland Trailblazers. So that's a plus. I know that the city and the Blazers met yesterday, but no news has really come out of the meeting, which...
No news can be good news.
Can be good news. So we'll keep that board running at 17. A lot to get to this hour. We will sneak in some NFL stuff, but let's spend some time in the NBA. And we have spent the majority of our summer, Danny, hence the reason why the countdown, the clock on the board behind me, for those of you in radio land, the reason it exists is because there's been nothing but bad news about the Portland Trailblazers, or at least discouraging things going on around the organization. But guess what? Yesterday we talked about the Clippers a little bit and their hold my beer situation with their ownership situation.
Mm-hmm.
It actually can get worse than that, because I think what's going on with the Buss family and the Los Angeles Lakers is some real wild, petty,
it's
rich kid nepotism stuff going on.
It's full on Game of Thrones stuff, and it's been this way since Dr. Buss died.
Mm-hmm. It's funny though. I don't mean to cut you off there. It's funny to see that Jerry Buss, mm-hmm. who is this kind of gregarious character, owned the Lakers, the L.A. version of James Dolan, mm-hmm. basically. A lot more likable. Sorry, let me pause that. A lot more likable. You know, Showtime Lakers, Shaq, Kobe, mm-hmm. Kobe Powell, like a lot of really great stuff going on with Dr. Buss. The kids. This is Steve Bisciotti, the owner mm-hmm. of the Ravens, was like, when I die, my kids don't get this team.
Yeah, no, we're not doing
because this is
that.
A bad idea.
You can say maybe Stephen Jones taking over for old Crazy Cakes.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see how that goes. You know, Mark Davis took over for Owl.
Like, mm-hmm.
Smiles and glory hopes.
There you go. God bless Jerry. But the Lakers, because it's so many kids and because it's so infighty and because it's so Game of Thronesy, I mean, Genie got one of the brothers out, what is it, 2 years ago? Had him tossed out. Like, she's the biggest power player in all of this. And why this all matters in the sense of, like, what's happening.
Like, why do we care about it?
Is, well, not just that, but, like, how this has happened. For those that don't know, there is a last man standing clause in the Buss family trust. So this is, like, legitimately Game of Thrones. Like, so this is what happens. If you die, you're basically effectively cut out of the will. Your kids, your family don't get any proceeds, nothing out. Like, that's it. The pie just gets bigger for everybody else who's still standing. So, again, hence the last man standing. Well, if you're not Genie Buss, if you're any of the brothers and you want some of the money out of this or out of the Lakers, you vote to sell because the dispersal of the funds has to happen then.
You can outvote Genie. It's the only way you can outvote the one in charge of everything.
And that's what they did. They came in and it was 5-0 to Genie's one. It was 5-1. All of the other family members, all the other trustees said, guess what? We have an opening here because the team's being sold again, which means we can come to the board and we can all ratify this again. We're out. And by vote, sucks to suck, Genie, because she's now fighting this. As she would, because that's what she has done. And you've got Ramona Shelburne, who's one of her really close friends.
Besties.
Ringing the bell on ESPN.
Besties.
But the flip side of this is the man buying the team with Josh Kushner is Bob Iger, who was the former CEO of what company?
Disney.
Who do they own?
ABC.
And? ESPN.
And ESPN, yeah.
So if you want to argue with mouthpieces of who's going to control what, I can tell you right now, Jeannie Buss is going to lose that game.
She is, and it's interesting, and this is where I'll, you know, this is where I actually might give Stephen Jones a little bit of credit in the kids taking over as you move on.
Ursay too, Ursay's daughter,
Jim Ursay, yeah,
yeah, his daughter's done great with
Carly
the Colts.
Ursay Gordon,
yeah, she's been phenomenal with the Colts.
I think some of it is just depends on how your kids were raised around it. Like Stephen Jones has been bred to take over the Cowboys.
He's worked in every single office
since he was
company.
Like 12 years old. Since his dad bought the team, he was like, son, someday you're going to run this, so you're with me. And Stephen Jones has grown up and cares about football and loves football to the nth degree that Jerry does. I would argue Mark is probably the same way as Al. Now, Mark is a little goofier, definitely he's got that Nepo kid to him.
Sure.
But he still runs the Raiders ish like his old man would if his dad was around. Jeannie, look, I know she was with Phil for a while. None of the Buss kids have ever screamed to me, I love basketball, the way Doctor did.
I think they love the idea of it.
Exactly, and that's why I don't love Kushner and Iger as buyers for the Lakers, because I think they want the Lakers because it's a brand. Mm-hmm. I don't think they want the Lakers because it's basketball. Bob Iger has said since he moved from New York to L.A., he became a Clippers fan. Mm-hmm. So it's like, the Clippers fan just bought this?
Well, at least he's a basketball fan.
At least he's a basketball fan. Like, I'll get that. I don't know if Kushner is. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he is.
Like the Adelsons? I don't think they're basketball fans.
No, not at all. Not at all. Do you think the Bensons are football fans still?
I can tell you this. She's not a basketball fan.
She's not a basketball fan.
She cares more about the Saints than she does about the Pelicans.
But is it because
she doesn't
Saints...
really care about the Saints?
But is it because the Saints make more money?
Yeah.
What about the Cats in Tennessee? Do they really care since their old man died?
No.
Yeah. So that's the thing. And I think the scariest thing about this is no one will ever forget what Dr. Buss did for the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he bought the Lakers, gets them into Showtime, rejuvenates that when that fizzles out with Kobe, Shaq, and puts them and cements them back on the table as the best franchise in the NBA, or at least they can argue it. I would say they're the best franchise in the NBA. These kids just tarnish that. Now, people our age will always know Dr. Buss, but people's Casey's age, I mean, when did Jerry Buss die?
God.
7-8 years ago? You know, like Casey would never, or anybody out there listening that's 25 and under, you guys don't know how important Jerry Buss was.
I don't know Jerry Buss. I know Jeannie Buss.
See? 2013.
2013. He died over a decade ago. He doesn't know Jerry Buss. And so that's a really sad thing. And to watch these kids squabble away, it's a life lesson for any parent out there, too. Just remember, man, whether you got $20 to give away to your kids or $20 million to give away your kids, get that ass tightened up.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, these kids are all going to hate each other, and they're full-grown adults.
I love his like final act was a chaos grenade, with including that last man standing glass.
Like, Dad, what are you doing here?
Let's see you all claw at each other. Because that's what this screams is like, we don't trust you, Jeannie, and we don't think that things are going to go the way that we all want them to go, so we're voting you out.
Which is wild, because it feels like Dad trusted Jeannie the most. Is it just because is she the oldest?
She assumed the most power. Again, power vacuums.
Is it the Phil Jackson thing? Is that sneak her way in?
It's not just that. It's the relationships that she has with the Rambis family, the Rambi, and all of those ties.
The Rambi.
Oh, buddy. I tell you right now.
I did not realize we could call them the Rambi.
That Showtime series that came out.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
Very much framed Jeannie Buss as the heir apparent and everyone else sibling-wise as
secondary.
Secondary or not interested.
I didn't see that. Is that Adrian Brody as Pat Riley?
Correct.
Yeah,
I should have watched that. I like him. Unless he talks.
John C. Reilly played Jerry Buss.
Oh.
He does kind of look like him.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
But
I should watch that.
No, that whole thing is, you know, it's the nepotism. It's these clauses that are in these contracts. And it's like, even before this was happening, when Walter bought the team, we talked about it a bunch off air. I was like, there's not a chance that Jeannie Buss is there next year. Like, you weren't going to do that. Because you weren't going to keep the S show going.
She has also filed paperwork to stop the sale with the Superior Court of the Los Angeles Central District. The statement reads from the New York Post, no sale of the JAB Trust's 17.8% ownership interest in the LA Lakers, Inc. can be effectuated without the approval by the current co-trustees, i.e. Jeannie, and Joey Buss. Streisand said in the letter, Adam Streisand is Jeannie Buss's lawyer, pursuant to the JAB Trust and attached to the court order, the co-trustees are bound to vote the Los Angeles Lakers Inc. shares to ensure that the minimum 15% ownership requirement is maintained to ensure that Jeannie Buss may remain controlling owner. Any attempt by the co-trustees to do otherwise and any attempt to aid or abet their co-trustees as such would constitute a breach of trust, breach of fiduciary duty, and be in contempt of court.
Yeah, good luck with that.
It's funny, too, because Jerry Buss was the face of the Lakers, mm-hmm. and hence why Jeannie was instilled there and put as the next face mm-hmm. of the Lakers. The way modern sports have gone, especially ownership over the last 5-10 years, the Lakers don't need Jeannie to be the face of the Lakers. I would argue in the period between Kobe and LeBron, okay, the Lakers are not a very good no. situation. It's a really bad, kind of poorly run organization, and maybe you can put that on Jeannie Buss. But once LeBron shows up, the face of the NBA, and now you have Luka, nobody cares unless Magic shows up. Mm-hmm. If Kobe were alive, if Kobe showed up, they'd cheer for him. Shaq in the building, they'd cheer for him. They've realized that the ownership of the Lakers used to be such a big deal, mm-hmm. like Jerry and the Star, and now nobody cares.
Well, I think that happened when Walter bought the team, but I do find the timing of this all very fun in the sense of, like, who's not in LA anymore?
What?
LeBron.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I think that's the whole thing I felt about Mark Walter was it's like, dude, get LeBron out, get the Buss family out. We're rehashing this whole thing. Now, he's got his own problems
yeah.
that he's dealing with, which is why they're being sold.
What but do I would, new owners always do?
Look what this one did in Portland. You're gone. You're gone. You're gone. I'm surprised Dwayne Hankins and Joe Cronin have jobs, if I'm being honest. Because honestly, if I bought a team that was the Portland Trailblazers, mm-hmm. okay, a team that's been riddled in mediocrity for a while, you're all gone, personally. And that stinks. And I think Mark Walters, now let's say Mark Walters doesn't buy the Lakers and it's Bob Iger and Kushner mm-hmm. from the beginning. I think they do the same thing. Get Jeannie out of there.
100%.
Get everybody. Get Palinka out of here. Get everybody gone.
The Rambis family.
Clean house.
All of the people. Because here's the thing.
If your last name is West, your key cards don't work anymore. I mean, that's just the reality.
Jerry, you want around.
Oh, I understand.
Even though he's not around.
But even then, I'm just kind of like, look, we're just clean slating this. We're moving on.
Everything Jerry West touches turns to gold. So
I do understand that. He did it with the Lakers and with the Warriors. Yeah. I'm kind of did it with the Grizzlies,
and
too.
And the Clippers.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he helped build those teams. Like,
I thought that was Doc Rivers.
Yeah, no.
Isn't that what Doc said the other day?
Doc was, he was there.
Didn't Doc try to claim that he made the Clippers a real organization?
J.J. Redick was quick to shut that one down.
No, we were there, Doc. Shut up.
Yeah, no. We're good here.
We have receipts.
But like, this is what new owners do, because new owners come in, and what do they say? I know how to do it better than anybody else.
Sure, and some do, and some don't.
But they all think they do.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
They all think they do. Just run down the list, whether it's Ballmer, whether it's Dundon, whether it's Ispia, whether it's the new Celtics ownership. Where's Jaylen Brown playing right now?
In Philadelphia Paul George.
Is he a Celtic anymore?
No.
What happened leading up to that? Did ownership change hands?
Yes.
Oh, weird. Weird.
And we walked through this in the Jaylen Brown thing. Brad Stevens is sitting up there and it's falling on the sword.
Yeah, but
left and right, falling on the sword.
He did, but he also was like, he said the quiet part out loud. Mm-hmm. This is something I was instructed to do.
Yep. This is a business decision.
This is what I always tell people, like, when general managers get blamed for this, that, or the other, it's like, guys, it is ownership directives, and you do not know what the directives are. It was like when Joe Cronin was like, no, you know, it was my fault that the two ways didn't travel. No, it wasn't. Of course it wasn't. Are you out of your freaking mind? They traveled endlessly, always, before that. What's the single thing that changed? Ownership. There you go. It's just... different owners are going to have different motivations. That's the same thing when you're talking about any transaction in the NBA, whether you're talking about a trade or something along those lines. Well, this team got ripped off and this team did this. It's like you find the motivation that accomplishes your goals. That's what you're looking for. It's just that, you know, some people like Danny Ainge knew how to press that button better than anybody else. That's just the reality of it. And so when you and again, that was under a different ownership group in Boston. So you just take a look at what's going on. Look at the Lakers right now. You've got Austin Reeves and Luka Doncic, and you're just kind of like, okay. And Walker
Kessler. Oh, and I
Kessler.
Hate that.
And Walker Kessler.
Oh, like, I hate that team.
It's snow time, you know?
God, what?
It's a great name. But now, with all of those, you know, deals and everything on the table, you have a new ownership group coming in. They can't do anything about it.
Mm-mm.
So what are they going to do? They're going to change everything else around it. There's another story that's out right now talking about how the Lakers were trying to build up their front office, and now they can't because they don't know who's in charge. Mm-hmm. They can't go hire front office personnel. They can't go hire directors of analytics. They can't go hire scouts because who is actually controlling and pulling the strings right now?
But that's what I was trying to ask you yesterday when I was when I asked the question, if you're changing ownership this much, when does it really start to affect?
Oh, right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can't hire and fire right now because you don't know who's in charge.
Right. Yeah. Is Kushner in charge? Is Bob Iger the governor?
No. Technically, right now, Genie is still the governor.
Right.
But the majority shareholder currently, until the transaction is approved by the Board of Governors, is Mark Walter.
Mm-hmm. And we're only getting closer to the season.
And do you think Mark Walter wants to be discussed about
anything?
Yeah, about Walker Kessler?
No.
No, no. He's got the DOJ knocking on his door.
And it turns out he's got to basically clear $24 billion by the end of the year.
I'm going to buy the Dodgers. I'm going to buy the Dodgers and shut them down.
Turn them into the Packers, publicly held?
No, I'm just going to shut it down.
Yeah, okay.
Just going to fold the operation. L.A. only needs one team, and it's
the
Angels.
Inside.
It's the Angels. They only need one team.
It'd be hilarious if, like, Jeff Bezos hated the Dodgers. He's just the biggest Yankees fan on the face of the planet. Just buys the Dodgers just to crater them.
Moves them to New Orleans.
It's like, I don't care.
Let's switch over to the other team in L.A. real quick. I want to ask the question. I think you guys did this while we were gone. What should the punishment do if they – should the punishment be if the NBA actually has the cojones to do it? We'll go to the Clippers next. 105.1 The Fan. There's Casey. We'll get to preseason AP All-Americans. Just came out. Just got a text message from one Jason Swigard. Mm-hmm. Resident Dodger fan.
Mm-hmm.
You can go right to hell, is all this text message says. All that text says.
You can put it on the board.
Love you, Swaggy. I love you, baby. I love you, baby. I am going to buy the Dodgers, though.
No, the Dodgers aren't going to go away. They're just going to lose Shohei.
Yeah. No, I'll buy the Dodgers, and instead of shutting them down, I'll just win more.
It's over!
You know who the biggest winner in all of this stuff is? Mm. The Clippers, the Lakers, Matt Ishbia. It's Pablo Torre.
Oh, yeah. And a little bit of Tom Dundon.
Yeah, well.
A little bit of Tom.
He at least has a crap deflector shield up now.
Speaking of Steve Ballmer, we'll be real quick about this. What do you think the punishment should be for Kawhi and Steve Ballmer?
We went through this when you were gone.
I figured you did.
And I still think that the Kawhi should face probably a minimum 25-game suspension if the trade is allowed to go through.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the most that'll come down. Because here's the thing. The NBPA and the owners are kind of in lockstep because the Players Association doesn't want Kawhi to have his contract voided or be suspended without pay.
Right.
And the owners, well, here's the thing. They probably want Ballmer punished, but if they open up that can of worms, it sets a precedent for what could happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always this like, well, it's the reason why Donald Sterling existed. If you take his franchise away from him, well, then you can take our franchise away if we do something stupid. Because all of a sudden, mm-hmm. here comes Sarver. He has his franchise yanked away from him. Like,
well, not in the same way, though.
In the same way. Conduct.
Oh, that's true.
It's conduct.
But was he banned for life?
They said pack your stuff.
Okay.
You're not welcome here anymore.
But again, that's conduct stuff. So at least the bar.
You get your billion-dollar parachute, but you got to go.
But at least the bar of being forced to sell, being forced out of owning your franchise in the NBA is a pretty high bar. Like, you got to screw up a lot to get to that level.
Again,
they're not going to force you to sell your team because you're a jerk or broke some rules. That's gross misconduct. That's racism. That's predatory behavior. And I'm not talking about predatory loans. I'm talking about predatory behavior towards humans.
But that's the whole thing. I'm not saying that this is wrong, but the bar is not. It's not a solid place. It can be moved.
Mm-hmm.
It can go higher. It can go lower.
Yeah.
Because once you open up, In legal framework, this is precedence.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do something, well, then the precedent has been set. And then you can work your way from that. And here's the thing, man. Let's run through the list. Let's not actually not do that. Run through the list of owners in professional sports. Do you think there's a good one?
No. I mean, Paul was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cuban in the end was a lot better than he was in the beginning. You know, for as much grief as we give Jerry, I don't think he's that terrible of an owner. I think he just doesn't know football as well as he thinks he does.
I still want to know the context of that photo back in the day.
Mm.
Fair. Yeah, I don't know.
Al was crazy, but that was really it.
I mean, George wasn't the worst guy in the world. He just was really passionate and would fire people.
Mm-hmm. But again,
but I don't think George Steinbrenner was a bad guy.
I would imagine they probably all were at some.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, do I want to hang out with George Steinbrenner? Absolutely not. But I don't think he's. I don't think he's Sarver.
No. Well, not that we know.
Not that we know.
And that's the thing is, like, if you don't think that these people that have billions of dollars that have stepped on the souls of humans for the majority of their lives to get to where they are, I mean, again, not to beat Dundon over the head, how did he make his money?
Right.
Predatory loans. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not, same with Ishbia. Like, just go run down the, like, it's, we're kind of like, we talked about this yesterday. The old money folks, they probably had some predatory stuff, but it wasn't as egregious as some of the things that we see now.
Sure. And every time I think about Ballmer and Kawhi in this situation, I just, the precedent in major sports of something this scandalous happening, the last thing I can think of is honestly the Houston Astros. And some people got fired. You know, A.J. Hinch got fired.
If you're talking about, like, GM got suspended, CBA, it's Joe Smith and it's the Timberwolves. Yeah. That's what it is.
But, like, no player got in trouble. Because Major League Baseball didn't want to go against the MLBPA, which is why I don't think anything's going to happen to Kawhi, because the NBA doesn't want to go after the NBA Players Association, because that creates rifts down the line when you're doing CBAs that can come back and bite you.
Have we got
and then the owner is represented by the guy who runs the league, mm-hmm. so he's not going to get anything either. Look, the Astros were not really punished. Some dudes got fired. And maybe the long-term punishment is Jose Altuve doesn't go to the Hall of Fame. That might be the long-term punishment, yeah. but he didn't lose money. He didn't get a contract voided. He didn't get a suspension. And I think Kawhi's in the same boat because you don't want to piss off the NBA Players Association.
Have we gotten any repercussions from the Gary Trent situation yet?
It's looking like it's going to be harder to prove because there isn't a piece of paper in the desk of the general manager that links him directly to it, a la Joe Smith and the Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. That's still the wildest thing to me. But you wrote it down.
But if you create a precedent, say for this situation, say it's a forfeiture of draft picks, it's fines, this, that, or the other. Does that then create the precedent for how you do it down the line?
Well,
which could completely, I guess, negate the side that you want to be on.
Yeah, I think you're bringing up a good point. There has to be some sort of situation to show a precedent of what will happen in the future if you do it. Because if it's nothing, I mean, we've already heard people say, if nothing comes from this, then everyone should do it. And then we just become, then it's basically NIL in professional sports.
But the thing is, in college football and college sports, there isn't an existing framework.
Right.
In professional sports,
there is.
The CBA exists for this reason. Matt Moore, Hardwood Paroxysm, HP Basketball on Twitter, he's got a Substack. And he had an argument in his what he wrote up this morning that I thought was interesting in the sense of, like, and I think Henry Abbott and Pablo Torre were talking about this as well, is like the whole point of sports is that you're supposed to believe that there's fair play.
Mm-hmm.
Like that everybody's operating on the same playing field.
Yeah, if you lose integrity, you're going to lose everything.
And that's like, don't
that's
get me
the
wrong.
Tim Donaghy.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the people that think the Chiefs get all the calls for everybody and the NBA is rigged in the draft lottery.
But the, when there's enough smoke, then it's fire, man. You know what I mean? And that's where this kind of, we were talking about this while he was gone. Like the whole idea, like the soul of sports is rooted in fair play. The reality is it hasn't been fair for quite some time. Like
we're just starting to see it.
It
was hidden behind us for a while.
Yeah. I saw somebody talking about this as with regards to the Warriors. Bob Myers, weirdly enough, do you know who he was advising? It's Philadelphia 76ers. Where did LeBron James end up? Where? Did Mike Dunleavy Jr. and the Warriors, did they get a damn thing done this summer?
Nope.
There is this thought of, and this has existed for a long time, that there's basically like a, for lack of a better term, a club. And you're either in it or you're not. And Danny Ainge was in that club. Like the big movers and shakers. And basically, Mike Dunleavy in this press conference said, like, he was cold calling to try to get stuff done. It's like, brother, if you're having to cold call to get, and I'm not saying that it's just him. Like, this happens. But, like, if you can't get traction on something, you can't get something done, you're just not in the club. And there's only so many guys that are, that effectively get deals done. And, like, the whole idea, again, of, like, fair play. Like, Rich Paul and LeBron James exercise a large amount of control. Clutch Sports leverages teams to, Anthony Davis was a Laker because Anthony Davis is represented by Clutch Sports.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they dictate where guys go and won't go. This whole idea of, like, well, owners and general managers, this, that, that's what I was talking about, like, when Tom Dunn bought the team, of, like, he's going to come in and do it his way, and he's just not going to take any crap. He doesn't care what agents say and all these things. I'm like, you can talk about that in the NHL all you want. in the NBA, if they don't want to play with you, they won't play with you.
You can do that in the NFL because the players don't have the power.
Exactly. In the NBA, there is no player, there's no group of players in sports who have more power than the agents and players in the NBA. And you can sit there and fight against it and pump your fist in the sky and stomp your feet and talk about how red-assed you are and how good you are at your job. It don't matter.
And that's why Kawhi won't get a punishment. Same way Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve, Josh Reddick, George Springer,
unless there's
Carlos Correa,
we've got smoking guns. Do we find the bullet?
Right.
That if Pablo's sitting on the bullet, it's a different story.
Don't rip off my jersey. We come back. Preseason AP All-Americans have been announced. A couple familiar names on this list. We'll run through that next. 105.1 The Fan.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Ro. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Ro, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to ro.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to ro.co/safety.
It's a free consultation Tuesday. We're actually moving it to 11:15, so get those in. We're going to do them a little earlier. We'll have Dave Bartu on, talk some college football in the big nooner as well. Plus, we'll get to, I think I found my new NFL fandom, guys. I think I found it.
Oh, did you finally find one?
I think I know what I'm going to do. All right. We'll get to that in the big nooner today. And again, Dave Bartu. We'll do a little NFL in hour number deuce as well. But real quick, the AP preseason All-Americans came out. Not a ton to discuss, but I figured it'd be worth sharing with our listeners. The first team offense quarterback is none other than your Dante Moore.
It's time to nut up or shut up.
Congratulations to him.
Boy, is that going to be disappointing when he's not a Heisman winner.
Running backs, there's a lot of really cool names on here. Running backs, Kawan Lacy, He made first team along with Ahmad Hardy from Missouri. A side note, if you're a Cougs fan out there, or if you don't really know what's going on, the reason I'm really high on Kirby Moore as the new head coach at Wazoo is he was the OC at Missouri, mm-hmm. and they ran the ball. So, like, if we can do that at Wazoo, which we've, like, never done in our entire life, that would be really rad. And Ahmad Hardy is a preseason running back AP All-American. A lot of that is Kirby Moore's offense.
Have you guys ever had an NFL running back?
No, not to my knowledge. We've had good college running backs.
I can't think.
Good ones. The best running back we ever had at Wazoo is somebody who never played at Wazoo, and that's Jonathan Stewart.
Oh, there you go.
Jay Stu should have gone to Wazoo, but we screwed that up, and he went to Oregon instead. Let's see here. Some other thing. Jeremiah Smith, Malachi Toney, Cam Coleman. No shock. Those are your three wide
Coleman's
receivers.
Coleman's surprising.
Did it?
Coleman was, if I remember right, was the number one wide receiver recruit in his class. He was, it's like 6'4", just absolute freak. If he wasn't number one, I think he was number two because he was a five-star.
But the moment he transferred to Texas, mm-hmm. I knew that he was going to be a preseason All-American.
Well, there's that. I mean, again, he wasn't bad at Auburn. I think
he was the number two wide receiver. Number two. Behind only? Take your guesses.
Who?
How many years ago?
He's the number one guy in college
Jeremiah
football.
Smith.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I had to do the classes in my head. I'm like, DeCorium was last year.
Yeah, behind Jeremiah Smith.
Okay. So Cam Coleman's a freak physically, just an absolute monster.
But was also ranked number one by ESPN.
Yeah. Like it was those two guys were himothy. And I think he had like 700, 800 yards last year at Auburn. But, you know, the quarterback situation at Auburn, Jackson Arnold, everything there, Hugh Freeze, we're good there. But Texas's wide receivers sucked last year. They just did not get it done.
Arch, a lot of offensive issues in Texas last
year.
Yes,
and which is under Sark, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
But Arch was maybe the best quarterback in the country the last six games of the regular season.
You can make that argument, yeah.
Like, statistically, the analytical profile, like everything about him, he was nuts. And if all of a sudden you're going to add a guy as talented as Cam Coleman, I could see that. But I was a little surprised to see him be first-team All-American.
Text line reminding me, Jerome Harrison went to Wazoo. I forgot about him. He was fantastic. Max Borgie, the Christian McCaffrey light. Yeah, we liked Max Borgie a lot. Mm. Good college players. Jerome Harrison did have a cup of coffee in the NFL. Good college running backs, though. When you slide over to the defense, though, to keep some things fun for you, there's a tackle named Amari Washington from Oregon who made the list, so congrats to him.
20 pick in the NFL last
year. Without a doubt, and is going to be maybe a top 10, top 15 pick this year if everything goes his way. Second team quarterback, Trinidad Chambliss, which I think is really fun because there's a lot of quarterbacks that could have easily gone there preseason. Mm-hmm. Arch, Julian Sayin.
Maiava.
Mensa. Lenore Sellers.
Nestemaker.
Nestemaker. Reed at mm-hmm. Marcel Reed at A&M. What's the kid's name at LSU?
Oh, Levitt.
Sam Levitt could have been there. But they went with
Byron Brown.
Byron Brown. They went with Trinidad Chambliss. And then your second team corner is Brandon Finney Jr.
Coy Parrish was first team
safety. Oh, thank you.
Safety. So.
Oh, Coy was first team safety. Did I miss that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yep, there he is. Yeah. Coy Pond.
That secondary, that Georgia, Ellis Robinson the fourth, and KJ Bolden both first-team All-Americans preseason. It's like, oh, that's going to be a good secondary.
Okay.
That's going to be a good secondary. Ooh, buddy.
Yep, so that's that. Just a little fun thing to take a peek at. It's nice to get, if you're a Duck fan out there.
SEC-dominated preseason All-Americans.
Big time, big 15. Time. Texas was the leader in the clubhouse, I believe. I think they had four first-team preseason All-Americans.
Notre Dame had, I think, four total, two first-team, I think, if I remember right.
But I didn't see Coy Pond down here. I mean, Oregon's got three. That's nice for them.
Yeah, no, like, Oregon's talent profile, there's no excuses. Dante came back. Your wide receivers, Evan Stewart's back. DeCorian Moore's got a year underneath his belt.
Everybody thinks Jeremiah Johnson might be better than Kenyon Sadiq.
Like,
we'll see. Well, Kenyon's the freak.
Yeah.
He's the better athlete, sure, quote unquote, but they think Jeremiah might be the better tight end.
But, I mean, you look at Oregon and their profile, like, there's no excuse. If you're going to say, well, the linebacker room, it's like, brother, okay, you got one, you've got multiple NFL guys on your front. Like, I don't want to hear, well, our linebackers, and that's your excuse this season. Don't give me that.
And you have a guy in the linebacking core who played every game last season in Mixon.
It's like, Betcher was really good for you. Mm-hmm. Really good college linebacker. If you're telling me losing the really good college linebacker who's not really an NFL guy, like, well, we don't have Bryce. It's like, look, I get he's kind of a heartbeat kind of guy, but, like, don't miss me with that stuff. You know what I mean? Like it's like when George is like, well, you know, Jalen Carter, you know, he's our second or third defensive tackle. It's like, it's Jalen Carter. What do you mean? Come on, man. Like, it's like, you've got the talent. Like, you've got to go out there and execute now. And on the Indiana side of things, that's the wide receiver. Mm-hmm. I thought Becker would get first team. Charlie Becker, I thought he would get first team. Because do you remember how good he was at the end of the season?
But statistically, he wasn't even.
Well, when the other two guys in front of you were both NFL
Elijah
wide receivers.
Elijah Cerrone and Omar Cooper Jr. were just better.
Yeah, so I was a little surprised by that. Again, Coleman's got the pedigree, but I thought, you know, maybe they'd give Indiana a little bit more love there. But, yeah, I mean, Texas is very, very, very well represented on this. Texas is not the other team, like the don't-have-an-excuse team on the talent front. Mm. There's three. It's Oregon, Texas, Ohio State. You don't have excuses.
Also, his name is Jamari Johnson. My apologies.
Who did you say, Juwan?
Jeremiah.
Oh.
The brain man.
No, no, I didn't catch it. That's my fault.
Hour number deuce is next. Free consultation coming right at you. Let's talk a little bit about the NFL as the Seahawks lock up there, dude. A lot more to come. 105.1 The Fan.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
we're really doing this.
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.